You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain.
This is
Sparta, Part 3. The movie 300 and its creepy racism. The 2006 film 300 was very popular and influential with a lot of martial artists, especially young martial artists. In the last two episodes, I have described for you misconceptions that the movie might engender in someone watching it. But even with all of those faults in mind, the thing that bothers me the most about this film is the poorly concealed racist theme. All the good guys in this film are white and buff. All the bad guys, with the exception of one, are depicted as decidedly not white, but are instead very dark. Many of the villains are also malformed or mutilated in some way, and nearly all seem to exhibit some form of deviant, self-indulgent behavior, as contrasted with the austerity, discipline, and selflessness displayed by the Spartans in the film. With very few changes, this could have been a Nazi propaganda film. You can almost hear the voiceover. Observe the inferior appearance and behavior of the degenerate races in contrast to the purity and perfection of the Aryan race. Now, fear and even hatred of what we perceive as outsiders is an instinct for humans, one of our baser ones. Without it, our ancestors wouldn't have felt the need to guard the precious hunting grounds that could only support their group. But since most of us are no longer hunter-gatherers, this instinct is now counterproductive. So in the modern world, racism is and should be revolting in any form. But it's also often comical in its ignorance as well, as it is in the case of this film. Let me explain. One important fact to get straight for those of you with a poor history and geography education is that Persians are the same people as Iranians. In other words, Persia is Iran. With that understood, let's unpack something. With one or two exceptions, all of the languages spoken by what we call white people descend from a single language spoken by a single population of people who lived in what is now Southeast Russia and Western Kazakhstan about 5,000 years ago. We call these people and their language Indo-European. About 4,000 years ago, a large group of Indo-Europeans left their homeland and began spreading slowly to the west, towards Europe. Over the centuries, they made their way to Europe. There were already people living there, but none of their languages survive today but for one exception, the language of the Basques, who live in the Pyrenees Mountains between Spain and France. With the exception of the Finnish, the Hungarians, and the Estonians, who came in after the Indo-Europeans, all the rest of the languages spoken by what we call white people come from these immigrants to Europe. So white people are the result of interbreeding between, gasp, immigrants, the Indo-Europeans, and the aboriginal inhabitants of Europe. But what happened to the rest of the Indo-Europeans back in Southwest Asia? Well, some of them stayed put, and the rest migrated in other directions. The most important of these other directions were south and southeast, towards India and Iran, and the group that moved that way are called the Indo-Iranians by historians and anthropologists. Now here's a cool irony. Guess where the Nazis got the word Aryan? Give up? Back in the late 19th century, linguists thought that Aryan was the word that the ancestors of the Indo-Europeans used for themselves. European racists adapted the term, thinking it harkened back to when white people were racially pure, a misleading and toxic phrase if there ever was one. As later research revealed, Aryan was actually the name that the Indo-Iranians called themselves. As a matter of fact, the modern name of Persia, Iran, literally means land of the Aryans. Explain that to a neo-Nazi and watch his head explode. The descendants of the Indo-Iranians speak the languages of Pakistan, Afghanistan, northern India, and Iran. Just as happened with the Indo-Europeans in Europe, these Indo-Iranians interbred with the people who already lived in the areas that they moved into. Now remember our timeline. The movie 300 is set in the year 480 BCE. That means that at that time, it had only been about 1,500 years since the people who would eventually speak Greek split off from the people who would eventually speak Persian. In the great family of mankind, the Greeks and Persians were close cousins. Now I know that language does not equal biology, but Greek people, as a general rule, have darker hair and darker skin than northern Europeans, with the occasional case of lighter skin, hair, and eyes sprinkled into the population. Exactly the same thing is true about Iranians. Try Googling red-haired Iranians if you'd like to see some interesting examples for yourself. It was probably difficult to impossible during the time of the Battle of Thermopylae to tell the average Greek apart from the average Persian without looking at their clothing or hairstyles. Several of the representatives of the Persian Empire in the film are played by African or African-American actors. While there may have been a tiny number of Africans that made it into Persia's army, it's highly unlikely that even one of them would have gotten the job of speaking for the emperor. Such a job would almost surely have been saved for a Persian, probably one of noble ancestry. Were black actors used as villains to appeal to racist tendencies among some Americans in the audience? Were the producers of this film engaged in race baiting? I don't know the answer to that, but it seems to me an odd choice in casting. But in reality, I think the blame falls more directly onto the shoulders of Frank Miller, the producer of the original graphic novel from which the movie is made. Mr. Miller has a history of racist and misogynistic depictions in his graphic novels, and the graphic novel 300, on which the film is based, fits the pattern. His 2011 publication, Holy Terror, is incredibly Islamophobic. One of the major themes and messages he ham-handedly tries to get across in it is that there's no such thing as a Muslim that is not evil and who is not a terrorist. When you dive deep into Frank Miller's work, his bizarre and extreme way of looking at the world become evident. Now, whether the producers of this film shared Mr. Miller's outlook was not revealed in my research. Well, that's enough about that topic. Next time, I'll wind up this Spartan miniseries by telling you about an ancient Greek warrior who truly deserves your admiration, who was himself a martial artist and a good role model for modern martial artists. His name was Epaminondas. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.